The Jack of All Nerds is recorded by a live studio audience.
Making your way in the world today.
It's electroshock therapy time.
Wakanda forever and never to part. Wakanda forever, it's true.
You puny rangers, make my monster grow!
Whoa, Rita's a man?
Welcome back to more Cooking with Bane.
Oh, you think grilling is your ally? Now's not the time to sear. That comes later.
You've been listening to the G-Spot, where we play nothing but Kenny G classics for a two-hour block of time. Due to explicit content, listener discretion is advised.
On with the show!
Hello, and welcome to the Jack of All Nerds show, coming to you from Nerdbot Studios in Alhambra, California. I am the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell. Joining me, as always, Mr. Derek Murray.
Hello, everyone.
And the chairman of the board, Mr. Danny Anthony.
What up?
Just keeping it fresh.
I don't know what's going on.
Funky fresh.
So we've had some technical difficulties getting started tonight, which is why we're late. So if anyone can't hear us or anything of that nature, please let us know. Obviously, if you can't hear me, you're not going to be able to follow that instruction. But
type something in the comments.
Yeah.
You know how to sign that? Do you know how to...
Fictional.
I'm not sure they got it, but I'm not skilled in the art of sign language. Anyway, guys, provided you can see and hear us okay, tonight on the show, coming up in the later half, we're going to talk music. Because it's not something...
Every song from the start of music to the end.
Yeah. I don't think we have time for that.
No?
No. Okay. What we're going to do is, look, movie montages, right? Who doesn't love a good montage?
Sorry, I was thinking of something else.
Oh, one mic isn't working. That's what we're hearing. I think it might be Derek because I can't hear him in the headset.
Neither can I.
Can you?
Still alive.
Check. Just do a quick.
No.
Do a quick table swap. Swap out that other microphone. Danny, mute green and enact yellow.
Yellow protocol.
Operation Yellow.
Anyone?
There he
is.
Hey.
Just put that one over there.
Yeah. Okay. Oh God!
The way.
So many courts.
You failed us, Green.
For the last time.
Megan says it's it is me. Oh, the microphone. Got it. Okay. Yeah.
They missed all your intro stuff. It's fine.
But hey, at least they didn't miss Roadhouse.
Yes,
that's true. That is true.
Anyway,
are we still going to go with our usual Roadhouse thing, or like the new one?
What?
Where we do it harmonized?
No. Do it. Do it. Do it. Slowly.
No, we only do the a cappella Pitch Perfect version of that when I think Sam is on.
So
right?
What okay. I like is for you guys to surprise me. That's how I like
it.
So
yeah, I like to keep him on his toes. Sometimes it's a little sweet. Sometimes it's just regular old Roadhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know.
But anyway, so the topic tonight is music, but look, montages, right? People like movie montages. So what we're going to do is we are going to, using our own lives and mundane montage sequence, we're going to assign songs to montages of just everyday tasks like folding laundry or dropping a deuce.
We're going to need a montage.
Montage! Yes, and we want to hear from you guys too. What are your montage songs for watching Jeopardy or going to the DMV? When we get there. When we get there.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be real fun.
But before that, a couple of quick announcements. The contest that we've been running on the show, it ended today. So if you didn't get your entry in, I guess you don't.
It doesn't count because the Oscars are also live. So yeah, you're cheating.
You don't get to win anything. But so after the Oscars tonight, I will tally up everyone that did enter. Whoever got the most correct predictions will win a sweet, sweet prize. And they will be announced on next week's show, our Academy Awards show.
Yeah.
So it'll be a lot of fun.
Where we watch Mike lose.
Yep. Probably.
Or me.
It could be Danny.
That is true. It could very well be Danny.
Very well be me. It might be me this year.
Yeah.
God damn it if it is.
We swapped, right? I think I was the loser the first 2 years, and then Danny was the loser last year.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think that's how that went.
Yeah. It feels right.
It feels right, Brian.
It feels right.
Anyway, so there's that. But we also have to talk about the people that allow us to be here in the studio, everybody. I'm talking about sponsors.
Thank you, Danny.
Jeez.
What was that? I don't. That's not my cue.
I was trying to surprise you guys. This is failing on all fronts.
We're going to need a montage.
Yeah, we're doing musical sponsors tonight, I guess.
All right, musical sponsors. Let's do it.
I don't even know. Roadhouse. Yeah. First up, the Etowanda Roadhouse. Can you not do Roadhouse to me doing Roadhouse?
I wasn't ready.
I don't know. I don't even need you now. Danny put some stank on it.
All right, guys. I'm going to go fuck off and try to figure out who won the Oscar for Best Actor.
My name is Big Sweet.
Big Sweet.
God damn it.
Conveniently located off the 210 freeway at the Day Creek exit in Rancho Cucamonga, California, the Etowanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Nice. Very nice. As nightly food specials, drink specials, live entertainment, pub trivia, karaoke, sports, and all kinds of good stuff. Maybe they're showing the Oscars. Probably not, but who knows?
They'll probably have it on one TV.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
With the closed captioning on. You don't need to really... I fully intend when I watch them, I'm going to fast forward through everything.
Well, I mean, there's no host, so there's not going to be anything fun about it.
I recorded it.
So, all the stuff that you don't care
all
about.
All the speeches, yeah. Really.
Yes.
It's really sad when you're skipping the speeches to get to the commercials. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So check them out. More information, facebook.com/eRoadhouse.
Roadhouse. It's the sweet one.
I don't know how you guys haven't been nominated.
I know. Fuck you, Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. We got this.
Because Millie and Vanilli was already a thing.
Wow.
Which one was us. Which one of you is the secret ugly one?
Well, nobody can see Danny, so it has to be him.
Obviously the homeless.
So you're the Lady Gaga, and Derek is the Bradley Cooper?
Is the Bradley Cooper.
Doesn't feel right.
I can wear blue contacts from now on, guys. I
mean, Derek is Lady Gaga. Doesn't feel right at all.
I am not the monster you're looking for.
I mean, he doesn't even have a good poker face.
It's true.
Anyway, I'm not going to touch that. I'm moving on. All right. Next up, The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery dinner show. Enjoy a fabulous four-course meal while solving a hilarious murder investigation. For more information, visit thedinnerdetective.com. And if you're purchasing tickets for the Claremont, California, or Jacksonville, Florida location, use the promo code CRIME to get a 10% discount. Oh, yes, for all your murder needs. Yeah, guys. Also, Four Color Fantasies comic book store located in Rancho Cucamonga, California. It is the Inland Empire's best comic book shop. They have all your comic and collectible needs, and they do a lot of cool events. Coming up in May, I believe, they're going to be doing a private screening for Shazam! That's how you got to say it.
Wow, with sound effects, yeah. Too. That was
with horrible thunder sound effects.
No, that was great.
But that's because I said it correctly. If I would have just been like, Shazam. Yeah, see? There you go.
Say it with your chest.
Then you get a farty noise. yeah, so head on over to fourcolorfantasies.com or facebook.com/4CFRancho. Both of those are the number 4, not spelled out. And... yeah, guys, I can't say enough about Four Color Fantasies. It's pretty sweet. And
it's the best, guys.
All their events that they do are really great, too. You get a goodie bag.
It's the best.
With the...
It's a good. Really good. It's Four Color Fantastic.
I don't know what's going on anymore. I really don't.
Nacho libre.
This is what happens when we don't do a show in 2 weeks.
It is. It is. We forget everything.
I don't know. I kind of like it when we're silly and nonsensical.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know if it's good for a viewer.
But it's fun for us, and that's what matters.
That really is all that matters. Yeah, so you get a goodie bag and the T-shirt, and they do raffle off some really sweet, sweet prizes.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking like statues.
Collectible statues.
Just full marble statues.
Yeah. I think last time we went, they did Michelangelo's David.
Greco-Roman Shazams.
Yeah.
Wrestling nude with Superman. You know, that kind of thing. Just classy, tasteful stuff.
All the things you want.
For Endgame, they're doing the Statue of Liberty.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But only half of it, like after it got, you know, broken and run down. Yeah.
Anyway, none of that's true. But they do give away, like they give away like hot toys, those kinds of collectibles and things like
and,
that.
And so look, the Chris, the owner, the Four Color Fantasies does not skip on the quality gifts.
No.
Like these aren't like the bottom shelf type of giveaways. These are high quality toys that you would spend quite a bit of money for if you were to walk into the store and actually buy them. So it's definitely worth it. They, you know, he gives away great art. Some of it's signed by the artist. Like it's very, very good stuff.
Yes. And also we got a new thing with them where we're going to be letting you guys know what the most anticipated top five comics coming out in this coming week are. So first up is the Wonder Woman 65 variant cover. And these are all, they will have these in store. And if you're watching, then you get to see some of this sweet art up on the screen for these covers. Also, Batgirl number 32 variant cover as well. They're going to have the Amazing Spider-Man number 16. Who is that?
Craven the Hunter.
Craven.
Ooh, fun.
And then we got Daredevil number 2. And this cover looks pretty sweet, too. It looks pretty sick.
That's
nice. I mean, I couldn't handle the whole comic being in that art style, but I think for a cover, it looks really great.
Yeah.
And then finally, we have Fight Club Volume 3, Number 2.
Dude, wait, what? That's you're breaking lot. The first and second rule.
That's a lot of numbers.
Yeah, it is.
Volume 3, Number 2.
Yeah.
Of the first series in the year of our Lord, 2019. No?
Is that what that is?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. Are there lords anymore? I don't know. Anyway, guys, so you can find all of those and much more coming out this week. Wednesday is New Comic Book Day, so you can find all those at Four Color Fantasies. So there you go. That's that. It is time to move on to our Netflix Netfix of the week. Who is going first this week?
Number first. It looks like me with Swiss Army Man.
All right, so what we do here, guys, if you're not familiar with this part of the show, we each watch something on Netflix that we have never seen before. We give you a quick little summation and a review in case you want to check it out for yourselves.
Yeah.
So, yes, Swiss Army Man.
Yeah.
Merman.
I don't think that's what it's about.
Oh. I mean, you're not far off, though.
No, I like to imagine Daniel Radcliffe justifying him being in this movie, and he was like, fine, someone was like, whatever, go be a Swiss Army knife. And he was like, Swiss Army Man.
But he's British, so Swiss Army Man.
I feel like he would channel the American accent.
The American accent.
For the performance.
All right.
He's that good.
Well, he does have an American accent in this movie. So.
Oh, does he?
Yes,
he's got a voice?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what this movie's about. Please tell us.
Okay. So Paul Dano, who is the fuzzy guy you see there on the left, he is trapped on a desert island, and he is about to kill himself when he sees a body wash up on shore. He thinks the person's alive, so he tries to, you know, get out of the noose, but ends up slipping off the bucket he's standing on and ends up actually hanging himself. But the rope then snaps and he goes and checks out the body. The body's dead. He's fully corpsified. And then the body starts farting.
Classic dead things.
As it does. But like really powerfully farting so that he's starting to propel himself through the water. And then so Paul Dano's character decides to ride him like a jet ski. For apparently miles.
Mm-hmm.
What, you wrote a Harry Potter?
It pulled you off. The corpse pulled you off. So yeah, then they eventually wash up on the like the shore of the Pacific Northwest somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So different island.
So well, it's actually the mainland now.
Okay.
They're just now in the woods somewhere. They have no idea where they are. And it like gets really weird after that.
So it turns into Lars and the Real Girl after that?
Pretty much, yes. Absolutely, yes. Except the roles are reversed and Paul Dano becomes the girl.
Interesting.
And it's really, really, really weird. It's hilarious in a lot of ways, but it is so fucking weird.
Why do I get the feeling that this movie ends with both of them being dead all along? And it's just a Twilight Zone thing, and this is just him swinging, and that's the last thing that he saw.
Yeah, because that's what I thought. That's it. That's 100% what I thought.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Okay.
The movie actually ends just as weird. Like,
it's just weirder than it started.
Weirder than it started. Like, you think like this is all happening in Paul Dano's mind. It's not. This is like 100% real. Like, this corpse is like reanimated and like farts powerfully. And the last image in this movie, spoilers ahead, is Daniel Radcliffe's corpsified body farting back out to sea.
Like you do.
Yeah.
Like you do.
Okay.
It's really weird, really kind of artsy, and it's really funny too. So I'm just going to stick it to the middle of the road and just give it a 2.5 and say it's probably not for everybody, but it is kind of fun.
So really weird, but it gets points for the comedy or the humor. Okay.
All right. Cool.
Real quick, give a shout out to the chat. Tatumara said, instead of rebooting and restarting at number ones, comic titles should jump to 1,000. Then everyone can talk about how they've been reading since issue number 32. Instant geek cred.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's pretty smart, actually.
It gets complicated when
it really does.
Keep rebooting everything.
Yeah.
And you're like, I own Superman number one, whatever.
Which one?
Action Comics number one, whatever. And it's like, wait, yeah. Which
version?
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Up next is Umbrella Academy.
All right. This is a comic book adaptation by the father of the broken, the beaten, and the damned. Good old Gerard Way. Who I did not know, Gerard Way, is that what it is?
I've heard rather mixed things about this, so
I'm curious
to hear your thoughts.
So here's the thing. So I started out, I'm going to be honest, I'm only about two episodes in, and then a lot of other things kind of got in the way, and so I wasn't able to finish it. So this takes place in kind of like an alternate universe. It's not that far off from our own world, but in 1989, 43 women gave birth, and the miracle is that they were not pregnant when they woke up. And so this eccentric billionaire is like, I must have all of these children. So he goes around and he tries to gather them up. And so he ends up gathering seven of these kids. And he brings them all to his house. And he basically raises them as his own. And he...
And thus, All My Children was rebooted.
No. I mean, yes, there's enough drama for a soap opera. No, well, 100%. Right. But essentially, like, he brings them all together and he raises them. But he also, he trains them. They all have special abilities for the most part.
Like X-Men.
Yeah. But he's not a good Professor Xavier. He's not.
No.
Like X-Men.
No.
No.
No. They all hate him. There's no one that's like, I love him. Like,
well, yeah, but you can't make the argument that Professor Xavier is good at being Professor Xavier because he puts children in danger all the time.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Anyways, they all have abilities. We find that's the backstory. And then it comes together after their father has died and they're all kind of they haven't spoken in years. They're all kind of spread out. And most of them don't have good memories of their childhood. So they're all very dysfunctional. Like one of them's a drug addict. The other one still wants to be a superhero. There's all kinds of drama going on. And then at the very end of the first episode, one of the kids that they thought was lost as a child comes back like years later because he actually traveled through time. And because he got stuck in time, when he comes back as a child, but he's like technically 53 years old or something like that because he's been gone for 40-something years. Mm-hmm. And so he's seen the end of the world. And so he comes back and he's like, the world's going to end in 8 days. But all of his family is like super dysfunctional and they're all over the place and they don't like each other. And that's pretty much as far as I've gotten. I mean, essentially they have to find a way to come together to save the world. And then as it goes on, like you kind of start to learn about each individual power. You start to learn about why they don't like their father, secrets kind of uncover, that kind of thing. So I will say that it's very well acted. There's Robert Keenan, I think is his name, plays a guy named Klaus, who is basically doing his best impression of David Tennant from Fright Night, who's also doing his best impression of Russell Brand. So take that for what you want. Like I'm actually just kind of tired of that character overall. It's funny, but it's like I've seen that imitation done over and over and over again.
You just wish they would have gotten actual David Tennant.
Just get fucking David Tennant. It's literally
that
the same person.
A lot more fun.
Just get fucking David Tennant or get Russell Brand. I don't hate him nearly as much as everybody else does. So
the problem with that is all these characters are supposed to be the same age. And you can't really...
No, one of them is a child from the future. So, no, stop it. So there's tons of weird time travel stuff going on. Obviously, things continue to unfold. Like I said, it's very well acted. It does do a lot of, like, assuming that you kind of know what's going on. So it's slowly kind of...
Jim says, sigh, do they need to save the cheerleader?
Oh, no.
Well done.
Right, golf clap. So overall, it's enjoyable. I know people are like telling me it's really, really good.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's good enough for me to sit down and power through the rest of the season. I would like to know the rest of it, but I'm not dying to finish the story, even two episodes in.
Okay.
But I don't want anybody to think that I didn't enjoy the two episodes that I saw. So I'm going to go kind of where Danny went. I'm going to give it like a 2.8 out of 5. And honestly, if I do
with the option to raise it if I
continue to finish, because I have heard it does start off very, very slow. And then, you know, as things get going, more details get revealed, it does become a little bit better. So,
okay. Fair. And that would make me last with the documentary. It's not a series. It was just a straight up hour and a half long documentary called The World's Weirdest Homes. And gotta say, a little disappointed.
Not that weird.
They have their list is like the top five, but they do all these like honorable mentions. And it's like, you kind of just mentioned all of them. Like you should have just called this a top 10 list.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some pretty unusual homes. There's a couple that you're like, that I would love to live there. Why why don't all buildings look like sea bubbles? Like, I don't, it's weird, you know, like ocean foam. It's weird.
Yeah.
Their number one pick, though, I gotta say, I was pretty underwhelmed. Like, anytime you put something at the top of a list, it should be the weirdest thing I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And it was just a guy living in a plane. Spoilers, by the way. It's a guy living in a plane. He bought a Boeing 747. It's a massive plane, but he bought a plane. He had it moved. It was a decommissioned plane. He had it moved out to the middle of nowhere, and he lives in it. Now, if he had done stuff with it,
mm-hmm.
like he had turned the inside into some sort of wacky where it looks like a home,
yeah,
then I would be like, okay, yeah, totally. But he hasn't.
Oh.
He's basically just kept it empty, and he's rigged up like a shower type of situation. And there was also way too much of this guy bathing while they were talking to him. Like this hairy old guy, and he's just sitting there behind a curtain, just scrubbing himself, lathering himself up, talking to you about how he set everything up. And you're just like, it was one of those where my girlfriend and I were both watching it, and we're just like, it's been on him a long time, hasn't it? It's like, yeah.
Creepy Netflix, creepy.
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a disappointment. The first guy was a guy who had turned a dumpster into a house. Given it was basically like a tiny mobile home that has the good odds of a dump truck picking it up and hauling it away.
Yeah.
But, he built a little sunroof into it that opens up. We had shots of this guy showering. outside.
Well, look, if you're living in a dumpster, yeah. people got to know how.
He basically has his little shower curtain that he has set up outside the dumpster. So he gets out onto the street, pulls it around him, and it was breezy.
How is that legal?
I don't know that it is.
Well, I mean, it's worlds, right? So this probably wasn't in America.
Like, this
was New York, bro.
Well, there you go. That's why nobody gives a shit.
It makes the guy started out by doing this for the homeless. He made a bunch of these types of homes for the homeless.
Oh, because I was going to say, I was like, did they just find a homeless man?
But then he decided for when he's out in New York, because he actually has a regular home and a family in California.
Okay.
And then he goes and spends the summer in New York and lives in his little dumpster. And it's not
because that's what you want to do. Sure, yeah. In the summer in New York.
Sure, man.
Live in a dumpster.
Hey, you do you, boo boo.
Yeah. It was like I said, there are some weird homes. If you're into that kind of thing, like weird architecture and people just wanting to live in weird things, I would give it a go. Like I said, it's about 1 hour and 30, and some of them are really weird, and some of them not so much. So
I want to see the parody where they do Han and Luke, and they're living inside of a tauntaun.
And this was an honorable mention too. I don't even think it was one of their picks. Someone has actually recreated the Munster House.
Really?
Yeah. Right, that's dope.
Yeah. See, that to me would qualify as the weirdest home. Yeah. Like that's
down to the point where I don't even know how they could live there, because it looks like with all the cobwebs and everything is like spot on to how the show looked in the series.
Wait, is it all in black and white?
Yeah. So weird.
Honestly, man, valid fucking question.
I think so, right? It's like, 'cause how would you know what the colors were?
No, it's not. But like I said, it looks more like they built it to have people come through and tour it. Like, to me, that's how it looks. Mm. It doesn't look like the kind of place you would live in.
Right.
And in that regard, I think that's a little disappointing, because if my girlfriend could build her dream house, it would be the Addams Family house. And you better believe we would be living in that thing.
Yeah.
Not using it as a museum piece.
For sure. For sure.
Taking turns, flushing each other out of the house.
Yeah. Oh, dude, are you kidding me?
And then grabbing the wrong chain.
Yeah, right.
Monthly babushka.
Yeah.
Fight.
Heck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Wake the dead?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Dude,
it'd be an annual tradition.
It's a great house, and you get to have a treasure and a private room. Your man cave is through a crazy tunnel with a slide. Get the fuck out of here.
No.
Why would you not want to be a part of that? No,
I don't know where the windfall came from that gave me the money to build this house.
Which is my follow-up question. I just need to know. Are all of these people white?
Not all of them.
Okay. All right. Just
the dumpster and the plane? Yes. But there were a handful of weird homes that were from other countries.
Oh, okay.
There was like a giant like alligator, like carved alligator that was a home, and it was like in some like Africa or some area like that in the world.
All right.
Why?
It feels very much like a show of like, look, we're white and we have fuck you money, so we created a home that is the Munster House.
There were way too many homes featured in America for sure.
Yeah.
But there were some across the world, and they were pretty interesting.
It feels like a very lavish, opulent type of thing to do.
If you're into architecture at all, I would check it out.
Okay.
I'm going to give it, I think we're all kind of in a similar place here, probably 2.5 out of 5.
Okay. All right. Pretty low ratings.
Yeah.
Because
it was just average. It was just middle of the road. Nothing. None of the architecture was really, for being called the world's weirdest homes.
Right.
Pretty sure there's weirder stuff out
there. Weirder stuff out there.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Netflix. Time to get on to some current events.
Oh, right.
What's up first?
There really were not a lot this
no,
week.
No, there weren't.
I feel like it was kind of a dead week.
In fact, one of these we're covering because we missed it.
Yeah.
So the trailer for the teaser trailer for Aladdin dropped like right before we went live in 2 weeks ago. So we didn't get to cover it then. And then we didn't have a show last week, I feel like. And then so now here we are. You want to let's start with that.
You want to start with that one?
Yeah, let's start with that, because I feel like this is one of the things that this is when the internet is a terrible place, because when the first pictures were released of Will Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's like, why isn't he blue?
They're going to make him blue.
And then the trailer drops and he he is bluer than Papa Smurf. And everyone's like, why is he blue? Why isn't he black? And you're like, what the fucking make up your mind? What do you want? What? You know, and then you got people that are like, why isn't he Robin Williams? Well, first off.
Spoilers. Spoilers. You guys heard it here first from the Jack of All Nerds. He's not alive.
So you guys saw the teaser trailer, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I'll go first.
And not just about him being blue.
Yeah. No, for sure. I have zero issue with the way that he looks. Like, you guys are trying... Look, they are trying to do a live-action version of Aladdin. So why do you think that Will Smith is going to look exactly like a cartoon version of Aladdin? Like, I just look, you might be a flat earther, and that could totally make sense why you can't wrap your mind around it. That totally checks out. But I do not understand the hate. My issue is that I already can tell that Will Smith is going to be Will Smith, which to me, it works for certain things. And look, maybe he'll do fine. I personally don't really care for Will Smith being Will Smith and the genie as Will Smith. I don't know if I'm sold on it. But honestly, at this point, who fucking cares? Because realistically, you're all going to go see it anyway. So stir your hate and just go fucking watch the movie. Like, I don't understand what it is you thought this movie was going to be, guys.
I also love that it wasn't Will Smith as the genie. It is the genie as Will Smith. Like, you clearly know his performance well.
Yeah, right? No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I feel like
when he comes out of the lamp and his, like, first lines are, you don't know me?
You really don't know who I am?
You really don't know who I am?
Yeah, right. Look, it's going to be a very different version of the genie.
Sure.
And I think if you go into this hoping for, and I don't know why you would be hoping for this, but if you're hoping that Will Smith is going to try to recreate Robin Williams' performance.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen, guys.
I just can't wait until he starts doing all the impressions.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you
Will
guys.
Will Smith doing Jack Nicholson should be fantastic.
No, it's going to be, guys, this is a remake. And to me, it's an ill advised remake. I don't think anybody was like, hey, you know that classic film that's already a remade Broadway show? Let's turn it into a live action movie. No one asked for it, but they're doing it. So let them do with what they want. It's going to be different. It's not going to be the same. Look, I heard a lot of people that were like, oh my God, Jafar's a zaddy. I don't know why everybody's got a hard on for Jafar all of a sudden. But
look, even in the cartoon, the guy was trim.
He was.
He's very well groomed.
He had a runner's bod, I think.
Danny, what did you think?
At first I didn't like it, and I'm trying to look past like what I'm like the main of what I'm seeing, just like focusing on details. So I'm looking at like the manacles he's wearing, and I think that's pretty cool because those are significant to the genie's character.
Yeah, it was hard to find this picture because the picture that is most widespread is the one that's just like his nips up, kind of a thing,
just
the chest up or whatever, and he's kind of positioned weird.
Yeah,
I thought this was a much better representation of the genie in this photo.
Yeah, and when it first came out, like the CGI that they used to either make him blue or make him, you know, more genie-esque, it looked really, really bad. But like I have no problem with like the still image because we're not seeing any kind of movement.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if they just went in and like in post and like did like CG paint on him.
No, they absolutely did. I feel like that's why we're getting like photos of him as himself. I think they digitally made him blue, which is why I feel that it does look, I get it. He's a genie. He's a cartoon genie. So when I say that he looks artificial, you're like, but this is a live action version, and there's no reason other than the fact that Will Smith probably didn't want to be painted blue.
Yeah.
That he could not. I feel like it would be cheaper to paint someone blue and film all your scenes.
Yeah, it's just the work. That's all it is. It's just getting up early and sitting in a fucking makeup chair for hours.
Then having to like
go in and render it.
Every frame of every movement to make him blue,
sounds exhausting and expensive. But to me, like I know everybody loves Very true, Alan. Alan Baptiste says, could have been worse. Imagine Kevin Hart as the genie.
But at least that makes sense why he has no knees.
All right, see, I regret your three wishes, but the way my wishes are set up.
What? You can't ask me no damn wishes.
In fact, I feel like Kevin Hart should have jumped to the chance to play the genie because they could digitally make him taller because he floats around. He'd be like, I'll be the genie as long as The Rock is Aladdin, but I'm always 1 foot above him.
Ashley Thomas says, Dave Bautista looked more realistic as Drax than Will Smith as the genie is in this.
Well, it's because there was nothing digitable.
Exactly. And look, I know that Will Smith is a beloved heartthrob and everybody thinks he's the greatest person on earth. But to me...
Do a lot of people think that?
I think so.
I think a lot of people do.
I think a lot of people kind of mix up the how much they love him for things like this. Because this is a clear example of an actor who does not want to put in the work, but will do the movie. Like, to me, I can't understand why you would...
I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to put that off onto Will Smith because that he may have had nothing to do with that decision.
No, that's true. You know what? You're absolutely correct.
The decision was, hey, we're not going to paint you blue. We don't want to do that. We want to do something that's more authentic and real. And then everybody lost their shit when they didn't see a blue genie. And now Disney's like, well, fuck. Can we just digitally make them blue?
I think they always had the intention to make him blue because they even said when the first image came out and he was just Will Smith and everybody lost their goddamn minds. They were like, guys, cool it. Don't worry. Like you're going to get your blue genie.
You mean when he looked like Shaq from Kazam?
Yes. Yes.
I am. Kazam.
God damn it.
Yeah. Honestly, this movie I think is going to get more hate than love. Just for existing.
I'm with you. I don't think this movie needed to be made.
Yeah.
But here's where I'm okay with what they've done so far. I mean, I think the genie looks terrible. I think they should have painted him, not digitally done it, because I'm getting cyborg vibes.
Yes.
Or Superman
shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It feels cheap, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't care for that. Obviously, it's just a trailer. Maybe it'll look different. Who knows? Disney's got a lot of money, so I feel like the end product will probably be okay, but again, I do think it doesn't look good now. But everyone that is like, oh, it's too different, like if he's not doing Robin Williams. My problem with Beauty and the Beast is that it was basically a shot-for-shot remake of the animated film with some very minor things that they added in to fill out the runtime, it felt like.
Right.
This feels like it has the potential to be its own unique take on the animated film. And so I love the animated film. I don't need to see it done live action. So if this has its own unique tale to tell, I'll be on board with it. That's my stance on it. So.
Yeah. I think you're going to be disappointed, man.
No, but I think if you are desperate to redo everything that we loved as children, the best thing that you can do is, because the whole point of this is, here's the other thing, which we didn't touch on. This remake is not for us. It's not for us that were raised on Aladdin. This is to bring Aladdin to a whole new generation of children so that instead of going out and buying the Robin Williams action figure genie, they can buy the Will Smith one.
I don't know. I don't even feel that with these live action movies. They feel like they're for adults. Beauty and the Beast did not feel like it was for children. I don't know.
I think that the best option that they can do is if they're going to do it, I agree with you. They should do their own take.
Michael Merlin says if Aladdin was remade with Kazam instead of the genie, I'd definitely go watch that.
Oh, hell yeah.
So,
because everybody loves to see a train wreck.
I'm feeling a trailer cut coming on. like my Us Madea trailer. I'm feeling a... feeling a Kazam Aladdin trailer coming
out. Do it. Timothy Lear actually says the pic from the trailer is when the genie is about 20 feet tall. I think that's why it looks so off. They should have chosen a different scene.
Like I said, I'll wait and see. It's hard to know with trailers unless you're a Warner Brothers film and featuring any superheroes. Then we know
exactly what we're going to get.
We know it's going to look exactly how it does in the trailer, despite you saying, this is not the final product. Anyway, let's move on.
All right.
All right. Up next, I think we have...
He thinks.
Frozen.
Frozen.
Yeah, Frozen 2, so, Electric Boogaloo.
So the trailer, there was the trailer for Frozen 2, the teaser trailer. So we should, for those of you watching, there'll be some display of the footage. No sound or anything like that, and we're going to be talking over it. This felt super dark, like like the music in it's like real ominous, and it's like, what happened? Who hurt you, Frozen?
Elsa.
She's doing her Jesus thing.
Yeah, it like the way it begins is fine enough. Like, it's obviously just showing like some determination to do something.
Yeah, right.
Like, she's trying to learn how to surf.
She's X-Mening it right now. Oh my god! She's discovering the limits of her abilities.
No, I just figured it out. The FBI has brought
her in. I fucking knew it.
To infiltrate a gang of bank robbers.
Yeah.
Look, ex-presidents.
Dude, this is the Point Break remake that we need.
Anna.
This is the one we deserve right now.
I am the queen of Erin Dale.
This is it.
Is the snowman Gary Busey?
You're goddamn right he is.
Elsa, make it to.
Olaf must be voiced by Gary Busey. That is a necessity.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway,
oh my god, okay, all right.
After when it gets to like the darker imagery and stuff like that, where everything looks like serious, everything, it feels like Frozen doing Game of Thrones.
It does, right? Like, it really does. It's got a very ominous feel. I'm gonna be honest, I have never seen Frozen, mainly because you have played the song for me more times in my life than I ever want to hear, that I'm ready to let it go without ever holding on.
But Disney never will.
God damn it, they never will. That Frozen is like one of the highest grossing Disney films they've ever had. Like, it's this juggernaut. It's insane.
And a sequel is probably going to do gangbusters.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And it'll also probably have Let It Go. It's just in the sequel. For no reason. It'll just show up. And it'll also be the scene from the original Frozen. They'll just do the music video, just fucking throw it in there. It'll be like a Hindi film where they just do a random musical intermission and it has no bearing on the movie whatsoever.
Yeah. Danny, what did you think?
I wasn't a huge fan of the first movie. I thought the best character in it was Alan Tudyk's character, the old man who's trying to take over Arendelle.
Mm.
But yeah, I would agree. It does look darker. Sven looks like a badass right here. But yeah, I don't really care.
I mean, it's a teaser trailer. We don't have much to go off of. Yeah. I just thought it had this just serious tone, even down to the last clip where they're walking on this dark road.
Yeah.
And then she turns around, grabs his sword, and swings at the camera. And, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, this right here.
It's the paparazzi.
Yeah, no, that's...
Like, she just became...
Terrified.
She just became an immortal right then.
Yeah.
She just killed the Kurgan in one stroke.
For Sparta! There can be only one!
Let's see. Michael Merlin says, I read way too much into this trailer for a Disney movie about a princess targeted at 8-year-olds. I thought it was her looking for her family that was lost at sea, which is probably
true. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it looks like she's trying to tame the ocean.
Yeah.
But look, I'm going with Point Break.
Still my favorite idea so far.
Timothy Lira says, I really wish it was Arendelle going to war against Narnia, but I never get what I want. And then Megan Sanfilippo says, I think Frozen was one of the darker Disney movies, so I'm not surprised that the second seems darker.
Yeah, I've actually heard that Frozen is pretty, it's actually pretty dark. Like, I know it's got a lot of fun music, but I think
it's a pretty angsty, like, probably the plot of some Cure song is kind of, like, it definitely has that kind of vibe in the first movie, for sure.
Okay.
You know, and I feel like the flip that they do in the first one with the handsome prince who turns out to be
the bad guy. Yeah.
I think it's pretty dark. Yeah.
Isn't there a scene where like someone's dying and he basically tells her no one's gonna love her, and it's like super brutal.
He's just kind of a dick.
All right. So I'm not going to watch it, but it's nice to dream.
All right, what's next, Danny?
Up next is,
I think there's only one more.
I think it's Star Wars. Yeah.
Yes. So basically, there's a rumor that we may have the title for Star Wars around May 4th.
Yeah. What?
Star Wars Day? But I think we already know the title of this movie. Don't we?
Yeah, Revenge of the Ewoks.
How's that? They're making a big comeback?
I love it.
Huge comeback.
I love it. Can't fucking wait. Dude, suck it, haters.
You gotta think there's like some warehouse somewhere that has all this Ewok merchandise that nobody ever bought.
Dude, I'm telling you, I swear to God, if Ewoks show up in this film, everybody's gonna love The Last Jedi. Like every all of the haters are gonna be like, "We were wrong. We were wrong. You know, we're so sorry."
You're not gonna see any Ewoks because they have replaced them with Porgs. Remember the policy, guys. Why do in real life what you can do with a computer?
True.
Right? Porgs are just digital. We're not going to suit up little people in costumes.
Yeah. Well, you can't anymore.
In furry cosplay.
Yeah. It's so lovely.
Yeah, because they don't need jobs. Anyway. It's, I don't know. But no, I think I honestly, like, there's the details. There's no details on this just yet, but I think Revenge of the Retcon is true. Like, I feel like The Last Jedi was so divisive amongst people.
So polarizing.
I feel like they're going to try to fix it.
You don't think they're going to stand their ground?
They should, but...
I want to say this. J.J. Abrams said something about this the other day. I'm going to pull up his quote, so keep talking. I'm going to try to find this quote.
Okay. I don't know. I just, from a marketing standpoint, I feel like they would probably try to appease everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's the right move.
Yeah,
but you had a lot of people that hated that movie.
Yeah, I still to this day have no idea why.
I know you're not one of them, but yeah, I'm just saying, out there.
It's not even the just the fact that maybe you just didn't like it. That's fine. The outpouring of hate, where still to this day you have to bring it up to people, like that to me, where it's like ruined your life because a Star Wars movie came out that you didn't love, it's just beyond me. Like, that's how much people hate this film. But I personally really hope, and I'm gonna be honest, seeing them all on Jakku makes me really nervous and makes me feel like this really is a retcon. I don't care how they want to dance around it and be like, oh, it's for
began.
It's all, we're just,
it was a,
you know,
dream.
It's a dream. See, no.
Is the fact
that you're taking that shit back to Jakku.
Do we know it's Jakku? It could be Tatooine.
I don't know.
There's no fucking way they're going to Tatooine, dude. That's fucking Jakku. It's 100% Jakku.
I found the quote, right?
Okay.
So here it is. It's, no, I think that every movie is its own movie, and obviously this is a trilogy. We brought a lot to episode 9, all the passion and hard work that we would have no matter what. So I think the story speaks for itself. I really, truly can't wait for you to see it.
So he said nothing. Perfect. Okay. So Troy Astro said, everyone is dead. Why another Star Wars? Tim Lira,
Mark Hamill's still alive. How dare you?
Tim Lira said his character's dead, though.
Oh, that's true.
Tim Lira says, if after the opening crawl, Luke wakes up and said he had a Force dream, maniacal laugh. So he mirrored what we just said. I think he probably said it before we said it, but
yeah,
delay.
I think so. Yeah.
Michael Merlin says, the only complaint I have about any of the new Star Wars stuff is Snoke, but the movie was still good.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of just burn Snoke.
Yeah,
but I'm not having this argument. But
we've had this discussion before because it's just like it felt like they were just flipping everything on its head. So this guy that you think is the big bad,
he's not.
Is just an idiot.
Yes, yes, yes.
Who can't see when his apprentice is going to stab him with a lightsaber?
Yes.
Sorry, cut him in half with a lightsaber. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see how this trilogy wraps up.
Sure.
If it in fact wraps up. Please let it wrap up.
Yeah, let's move on.
And then we can start focusing on The Mandalorian.
Fuck yeah, I'm down.
Yeah!
No, Solo 2.
Electric Boogaloo. isn't, just considering the way Solo ended, isn't Solo 2 just A New Hope?
Yes.
Is it? Okay, all right.
Well, yeah. I mean, they can go into the smuggling run that he does for Jabba.
I mean, I don't want to see A New Hope redone with that guy, but, you know.
Yeah.
Just re-release Star Wars. Untouched.
Yeah, untouched. Get that shit out of here.
Untouched by George's hands.
Yes.
Or anyone else's for that matter.
I straight up, when they're showing them, and I'm like, oh shit, A New Hope's on TV. And then it pops up with all that other digital shit. I change the channel. Like, I can't watch it. It hurts my eyes.
It hurts my eyes when I see Hayden Christensen at the end of Return of the Jedi. I fucking hate it.
Yeah, that hurts everyone's eyes.
Yeah.
Elaine Baptiste says, Snoke was relevant just as much as the Phantom Menace. And then Tim Lira says, maybe they'll have a planet killer that shoots Death Stars.
Fuck yeah.
Do you remember the Looney Tunes cartoon with Duck Dodgers? And he goes to Planet X and he battles Marvin the Martian.
Uh-uh. Yes.
And they have this exchange where he's like, I'll send him an ultimatum. And he pulls out a gun and he fires a bullet. And the bullet stops outside the window and unrolls a message. And it's like, do this or else. And then Marvin grabs his ultimatum response gun. And he fires it. And it flies back over. And it stops. And it opens. And it explodes in his face. Like, that's what I'm picturing here. Like, this thing fires out a Death Star that flies right up to the planet, stops, and just like Acme-style explosion, and the planet's gone. I'm into it. Let's do it.
I love it.
Let's make Space Wars. Space Jam meets Star Wars. No?
So they play basketball for the fate of the Force?
No, it's just Star Wars acted out with Looney Tunes characters.
Oh, so fucking, if that's episode 9, I'm all in.
That's all I want. Unfortunately, that'll never happen because Warner Brothers, Disney. Yeah.
Right.
At the very least, we could get, Mickey involved? No.
Look, all we need...
Forget I said that.
No,
forget it.
Look, all we need is Disney to buy Warner Brothers. That's...
Can somebody hear in Mickey's voice say it just isn't fair?
It just isn't fair.
Perfect. I think
I love it.
Like, we've got it.
All right, we got the takes, guys. Roll footage.
My T-16.
We've got a new franchise, guys.
It's what we do.
All right. Well, I think that's all of our current events. So it's time to get on to the main topic, everybody. So again, we are talking music tonight, and what we're gonna do is everybody enjoys a good movie montage. So we're gonna pick songs for montage sequences from our lives, but doing mundane montage, not like a cool training sequence. We're talking like doing laundry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Watching Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of montages. And the song that we would have playing over that montage of our lives. And we want to hear you guys, your montage picks for your own life in those situations as well. So let's get it started. So I think the first one I threw out at you guys was just a montage of you eating breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You seem like you don't have this.
I don't have this. This one was a difficult one for me. I've got some of the other ones, but let's, right. Yeah, you guys go first and I'll try to.
Do you have this, Danny? Cause I've got mine.
Go ahead and do yours.
All right. So the montage of my eating breakfast, and you have to really picture it, right? Mm. So like multiple cuts of me enjoying a whimsical breakfast by myself made of Pop-Tarts and Diet Mountain Dew.
Breakfast of champions.
To Breakfast at Tiffany's by Deep Blue Something.
God damn it. That is way too on the nose, son of a bitch.
Yes, it is. A lot of mine are going to be right on the nose, too. So,
I just think it brings a nice sense of whimsy to my breakfast.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, now that we're doing on the nose ones, then I'm going to go with the one that I thought of that's on the nose. And honestly, I don't think a lot of people are going to even know this song. Picture this.
Picture if you will.
I am no longer eating my regular diet food of egg whites and protein shakes. I have decided to buy all of the cereal that I loved as a child. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to Breakfast by the Newsboys. just relishing in the fact that they don't serve breakfast in hell, guys.
So it's just a montage of you getting fatter and fatter. Yeah.
By the time I get to Cookies Crisp, I'm basically the guy from 7. But at least I won't be in hell.
Well, that took a dark turn.
Derek's just sitting there.
Cookie Crisp. Oh, shit.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Danny.
I'm just simply, you know, just cooking up my my eggs and bakey, listening to Mr. Blue Sky by ELO.
Okay. All right, that sounds
lame.
Because I mean, it starts off good morning. It's currently blah 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 degrees out. Yeah, it's just a good morning wake up song.
Yeah, and so are you prancing about as you're cooking?
Of course,
in this situation,
I'm dancing like Groot, dude. Yeah.
All right, Michael Merlin said his breakfast eating montage song would be "Eat It" by
solid.
Weird Al.
That is a solid pick, sir.
Grab yourself an egg and beat.
I think that would fit with Derek's montage.
It would. You could have two montages. You could have the fun loving "Don't Serve Breakfast in Hell," and then the next day it's like, "Holy shit, Eat It" is on, and now he's just fat. But yeah, absolutely.
And then you follow it up with "Fat."
Yeah, there we go. By Weird Al. It's the perfect montage, guys.
So Tibbler says, so far I'm hearing that your breakfast montage's music needs to be "All by Myself" by Eric Carmen. That's not true. In my breakfast montage, I am having breakfast with the Mad Hatter and the Rabbit from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, no.
I mean, given it's all in my own mind because I have absinthe for breakfast, but that's beside the point.
All wow. Right. Okay.
All right. Next up, taking a shit.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna
the old taking a shit montage.
Yeah.
I'm.
Sound like Danny's got this.
I got this. Chariots of Fire.
So it's a slow motion.
It's a slow motion shit. It's a slow motion grimacing and pushing.
All right.
Yep.
All right. That's solid. That's a solid pick. And it's, you know, the race to the finish, it's an achievement.
That crowning moment. That grimace goes to a look of. Of relief.
Yeah. When and you're then, really struggling, when, that's when it gets to the doo 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 doo, like that little piano part. Dun, yeah.
Dun, yeah.
Dun, 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 yeah. Dun, that's good. That's
is,
solid.
And then I
solid.
Get up off the toilet and like one little nugget of poo is in there.
Yeah. That's gross. I didn't need to know about your shit.
Look, we're doing the taking the shit montage. You're gonna get details.
I guess that's true. I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So mine is a little bit more upbeat than yours. I decided to go with "Push It" by Salt and Pepper. I don't think there's any explanation needed. I feel like that's pretty. You're welcome, world.
Oh shit!
Yes. Oh shit! You're absolutely correct.
Alain Baptista says "Ave Maria." I don't know if mine is as upbeat as Derek's, but for mine, I went with "Staying Alive" because. I feel like the first part of it is so like, yeah, like for that with a wiggle when you're trying to get it out. Right?
Yeah.
And then when the cuts, when it gets to, you could cut to me wincing as I'm trying to squeeze it out. Just cuts of me in various shirts, struggling to shit. Because that's my life, I guess.
There's some science to this because when they tell you, and this is from The Office, but it's actually a true thing. When you take CPR training, when you're performing CPR, they tell you to do it to the beat of
staying alive. Yeah.
Staying alive. So, yep. I mean, like if you're pushing to staying alive.
Yeah, this all checks out.
Yeah. Short breaths.
Yeah.
Short breaths, yeah.
So the chat, we had Michael Merlin says, "Ring of Fire" by Johnny
There you go. That's that Chipotle shit. There you go.
You may want to see a doctor. I'm just saying. if that's your montage song, and Tim Lira was "It Takes Two" by Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock.
I mean, I don't know why you're shitting with someone else, but this totally makes sense. Whatever, man.
All right. Next up, the next mundane task is doing laundry.
Okay.
Because everybody loves doing laundry.
They really don't.
I don't understand the world.
They really
the
don't.
The machine is really doing most of the work.
Yeah, it's the folding, Mike. It's the folding.
Again, you watch some TV.
Yeah, it's still
you put look, on some Jerry.
Look,
Jerry.
I think if the chat is being honest, they all have a mountain of clean laundry somewhere, either in a hamper, on a couch.
Not mine.
Somewhere.
I love it.
Yep, no. Well, you can fold all of my laundry then. I got plenty for you to fold. All clean.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So speaking of laundry, my montage song, and this is actually truly one of my favorite songs of all time, and I feel like it works here, but mine is going to be Come Clean by Hilary Duff.
Feels like you were coming clean.
Yeah,
with that song. That's your favorite song.
It's like my worst thing powered by my favorite thing, just all put together. And in the end, we're a different person after this montage, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Danny.
So I kind of went a different way with this.
All right.
I'm not doing like clothes laundry. I'm doing like bedding.
Okay.
So I went with the great rock ballad by Bon Jovi, "Bed of Roses."
So yours is more of a love story?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Like the I'm just trying to picture the montage of the
just me folding the laundry,
the breakup scene, yeah, where you're looking at the dirty sheets, how they hurt you. Yep. Pulling them off the bed in tears.
Oh, tonight.
Putting them in the washing machine.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Michael Merlin says, from the laundry's perspective, it's got to be "You Spin Me Right Round," right?
That is a solid pick, sir.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Pat Allison says mine would be a remix of Derek complaining about laundry.
It's a hell of a montage. I like it.
Mine would be "Working for the Weekend."
Okay.
I know that song is not really about working.
As performed by Terry Crews?
Yeah, no, it's not. Do you do your laundry on the weekends?
I enjoy I enjoy folding laundry.
Okay.
So it would literally just be a montage of me rocking out folding laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Doing a dance number. And then at the end of it, I get down on the chair and I pull the chain.
And it's just static sheets that are falling down.
Yeah. It's just other people's laundry. Falling on top of me, and then I fold it up.
Ooh, this montage got sexy.
Except instead of you, no, because it's your song. I was going to say it should be Snuggles.
Next up, going to the DMV.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, I don't know why you have to go to the DMV enough to merit a montage.
So is it going to the DMV, so like driving, or is it like at the DMV?
You're like at the DMV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waiting at the DMV, if that's more appropriate.
Okay. Yeah. I got this one.
All right.
I don't know the title of the song, but it's the song Adam Sandler sings in The Wedding Singer. Somebody kill me, please.
I think that's actually the title of the song.
It really puts you in a dark place if you had to choose an Adam Sandler song.
Yeah, right?
I fucking hate the DMV, dude. Like, it is not a good place to go to. Even when you have an appointment, fuck that, you're still waiting.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. I my first instinct was to go with something that was like really on the nose. So like my first instinct was to go with like Highway to Hell. That's what I wanted to go. But I thought, no, you know what? That's way too, I need to get a little more experimental. So I thought the DMV is one of the most depressing places in the world, right? It's one of the most depressing places to go. So I thought it needs a very depressing song to go with said place. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give two, actually. I'm going to give a duplicate. Okay. I don't know if it can transition into one or the other, but you can pick whichever one's best.
Okay.
So one is going to be Brick by Ben Folds 5. And then the other is going to be The Blower's Daughter by Damien Rice. If you guys have never heard either, they're like the two most depressing. One's about abortion, and then the other's just a man cry. I have no idea what it is, but it's
does
like
the montage end with you giving up and walking out into traffic?
Probably. Probably, actually. I think so.
And he gets run over by a student driver?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
That checks out.
I'm going a different route.
Okay.
With that. So the montage for mine, it's a bit of a love story. I'm going with Right Here Waiting by Richard Marx. And it's intercut between me waiting in line and the person at the clerk at the front counter. So when I'm like, oceans apart, it's like it shows both of us and the longing in our eyes, me wanting to get there, them really not caring.
And then the number just keeps changing.
Yeah.
But it's not getting any closer to yours.
Exactly. I don't know how the love story ends. We'll have to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, mine ended in me dying in traffic, so.
Davina Lear's Was Going Under by Evanescence.
That is that's a great pick. That is a solid pick.
I like
that. Not just because it's a great song. It just makes sense.
My initial instinct upon the DMV one was Bodies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I opted to go with the softer side of Sears.
Yeah. I wanted to go with the very sad, like, I'm going to cry while I'm here.
All right. Next up is, because, you know, training montages are one of the most popular mm-hmm. of the montages. But again, this has to be mundane. So what is your montage? It's sort of training. You are slow walking, and by slow walking, I mean it like a speed of one mm-hmm. on a treadmill.
Yeah.
To where you probably could walk faster off the treadmill.
Yeah.
What is your montage song
wow.
for that?
This is on the nose, but it might be too upbeat to be going really slow, but I'm going to say the Proclaimers, 500 miles.
That's way too on the nose.
And also, at a speed of one, you'll never get there.
Nope.
You'll never get 500 miles. Never get there.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, I'm going to go a little against you. I'm actually going to go. I was going to go sad for this one as well. But now that I don't want anybody to think I'm actually going to kill myself. So I am actually going to go with 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. Look, guys, I'm just making my way downtown. She's walking fast. I'm not. But, you know, I'm homebound, I think, on a treadmill.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think this one was going back to the DMV, but Tim Lira had said, I'm going very old school, but Anticipation by Carly Simon.
Solid.
Yeah.
And solid. I would have accepted So Anxious by Genuine, even though that's about sex.
Personally, guys, I like to work out in casual attire. So I'm going with these boots are made for walking.
That's
because I do like to work out in cowboy boots. And nothing else.
You put Vaseline in them?
And nothing else.
I mean, I do wear short shorts, but that's that's a given.
This feels very much like you're practicing your strut. Like you're you're working on your seductive walk.
I'm trying to audition as Officer Dangle for the next for the reboot of Reno 911.
Tom Lennon, if you're listening, can we get a date for when that's going to happen?
Yeah.
And then we'll send Mike up to audition.
Yeah, us up, Tom.
Let's see. Michael Merlin says, for walking, can I get an entire church choir to stand behind me and sing hymns for an hour?
That is a solid pick.
And then Tim Lira was Slow and Low by the Beastie Boys.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
What's funny is I completely forgot my original laundry pick was I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred. I completely forgot that was my laundry song.
Do you also do that in boots, shorts, and nothing
else?
I do.
That's used for montages all the time,
But in that montage, I'm also taking off my dirty shirt that I've carelessly spilled something on, and I throw it into the laundry because I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Yeah, no, this, again, on the nose.
But I actually pull a muscle throwing it in because I'm so sexy it hurts.
Please stop. Please move on to the next one.
I'm picturing them. You got to picture the montage.
No, I can picture the montage, and I don't want to anymore.
Move on. Elaine Baptiste says the Daredevil intro music for their treadmill. All right. Next up is studying or working at like a desk.
Okay.
Yes, your studying or working montage.
This
I feel like none of us prepared this one.
I know. I don't think so. You know, I'm going to go with This Is the Song That Doesn't End.
This is the song that never ends.
Like from Lamb Chop's Mail-Off?
Yep, that's exactly what I'm going with. Because this seems like the most mundane thing that you could possibly do of like, working at it, and I feel like the montage is just me stuck in a loop. Like, I imagine myself working at a desk job where my only job is to just stamp papers, just one after the other, like the worst possible fucking secretary work that you can do.
But I feel like because this song doesn't end, I feel like the montage is just you getting more and more frustrated with each passing day.
Yeah.
That the song has not ended, and then it ends with you gunning down your entire office.
Yeah, it's a drama.
Oh,
for
okay.
sure.
All right, all right. I mean, as long as we're clear on that point.
How do you go from gunning down your entire office? It's a drama, for sure.
Well, that's where the drama happens.
This is a true crime.
No. It's a drama about gun control. That's what this is. With the song from Lamb Chops. It has a children's song. It's a very controversial film.
Dominique Whitehair says, "Whistle while you work."
That's pretty good.
Dwarves.
That's a good one. I can't whistle.
Copyrights, bro. Copyrights.
It was less than 30 seconds. We're fine.
What? It's Disney. It's not fine.
It's not fine. It's not.
Just the fact that we said Seven Dwarfs, now we're going to get canceled.
Cease and desist. All right. Sorry, Disney.
Davina says, "Rock and Roll Dreams" by Meatloaf. And then Daniel Cutchin says, "What's the song from that Farley and Swayze they're doing the skit with?"
The Chippendales one?
The Chippendales one. I don't know what song that is, though.
I don't know what it is, but I know what you're talking about.
I can pull it up real quick, find out.
Could you?
Yeah, I can.
What is your... Did you have a pick for this one?
Oh, I did, yes.
What is yours?
Well, since I am a teacher and I work at a school, Alice Cooper, School's Out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
School's out for... How does this montage play out?
So it's literally just me doing like all the things I would do at work, which is like herding cats most of the time, and just like making sure kids are doing their work. That's my job at my school. I also teach occasionally.
There's no way you were responsible for the education of children.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, well, mine is Only the Lonely by Roy Orbison. Because I work from home, and I don't have a lot of human contact. So the montage is just me realizing this as it progresses.
Yeah.
Just sadder and sadder.
Yeah.
And then I take my own life.
That's not funny.
That is not funny.
It's not funny at all. But it's also kind of funny because now...
now it's funny?
Now all I think of is going back to your previous breakfast montage. This seems like it also needs an all by myself.
Oh, yeah. No, but that it makes sense. I make up fantasy characters to have breakfast with because I work.
Well, yeah.
I think this just ends with me crying in a shower.
So it's also a drama.
Merlin says, "Biggie Small, Get Money."
Okay. All right.
And Daniel Cutcher says, "Working 9 to 5. Dollar
Pardon." That's a good one.
That is a good one.
That's a good one. Okay.
That's an upbeat, heavy one. You enjoy work.
Yeah.
The song from Chippendales is "Everyone's Working for the Weekend."
Oh, there you go.
No, well, yeah.
Just say what you can do.
All right. Next up is Watching Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah.
Or I guess any kind of older person game show, because I'm like, I know Derek actually does watch Jeopardy.
I do, because I'm an older person.
Do you mean to... Beep, back that bus up over you, but I love Jeopardy.
I actually watched it on Netflix.
But I'm a simple man, and I watch Wheel of Fortune. So it's different strokes.
Yeah.
So
I always love. You can always tell which show. Like, you can always tell the intelligence of the contestants that they have, because every time they go to somebody on Jeopardy, and they're like, "You are a professor at blah blah blah, and you've climbed Mount Everest, and you have a collection of very rare stamps," and they're like, "Yes, I do." And then they go to Wheel of Fortune, and they're like, "Hi, my name is Gene. I'm a mother of five from Florida." Like,
exactly. I was just going to say that. It's like, I have three beautiful children.
Yeah, that's it. That's our only claim to fame.
That's you're given 30 seconds to tell us anything you want. You're going to tell us that you're a mother of three. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I like about Wheel of Fortune, too, because it's like the contestants, especially when it's couples, and you can tell that they've rehearsed what they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one episode where somebody was like, I'm married to my beautiful wife, such and such. And then the next guy like didn't want to basically repeat.
Yeah.
And so there was this awkward pause where he was like, "I'm married to my wife." who, and then I think he followed it up with who is lovely or something.
Yeah.
You know, like that. He just didn't want to repeat beautiful wife and sound like a robot, but it just came across sounding real bad.
Yeah.
Just like my troll of a wife, you know? Like,
yeah.
But it's better when they're standing right next to him.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like the wife's like, usually the wife takes over in those situations. The husband's She's allowed like, to tell their hobbies or whatever.
Yeah, right.
I'll take care of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is your...
So you guys have to picture me watching Jeopardy, getting none of them right. but when I do get the one right... My montage song is "All I Do Is Win" by DJ Khaled featuring T-Pain.
Okay,
yeah, it's a celebratory montage, guys.
Danny.
Okay, so I take Jeopardy very seriously.
How seriously do you take it?
Like,
my God, that, Jeopardy pulled you off.
Was that? It was not a. It was not the start of a joke.
No, it's just a.
No. I enjoy it so much that like I get involved like ridiculously. I keep my own score. So like I write down if I get an answer right, I write down the points and I say
nerd.
Whatever, dude. Whatever. And so it would be the Game of Thrones theme for me.
Wow. Wow, that is too real.
I'm trying to envision this montage set to the Game of Thrones theme
of
Danny watching.
Intensely watching.
And murdering his significant other when she answers before him or something like that.
Yes.
Gets it wrong. Yes. Turns into the Red Wedding.
Yep. Bro, have you watched me watch Jeopardy? What?
Okay. Well, I am going with... I'm blanking on the artist. It's a country song, but for me watching Wheel of Fortune, I'm going with TROUBLE.
Travis Tritt.
I think that feels right.
Okay,
just because, you know, it helps me spell along with the show. Yeah, I'm a simple guy.
All right.
Yeah. What is the? What about the chat? What's the chat got? We got Get Rich or Die Trying, 50 Cent by
All
Dominic
right.
Whitehair. Tim Lear says, a lot of people pretend to know the questions on Jeopardy, but What's Going On by Marvin Gaye would be the best people montage.
That's good. I like that
and
one.
And Jesse Jordan said, wait, where is the third voice coming from? Is there a ghost interviewer or producer? No other explanation is acceptable, and I hope the answer is ghost related. It is. It is.
Yeah.
The ghost of Daniel Anthony has been haunting this store for 30 years.
Yeah, we've been trying to get him to leave, but he won't, so we just made him a part of the show.
Fun fact, I don't think this building's been here 30 years, but anyway. There it is. You heard it. Daniel, feel a cold chill?
Out.
Yeah, but there's also a picture of him in the corner.
Yes.
A ghost picture.
That's me.
That corner.
Nope. You're way too far off. There you
there
go.
There it is.
You're
hey.
Way off. anyway,
good. Good. I hope that's how you meant it.
Good.
I think good. You did. I feel right, it. Right. I feel it.
I feel it too.
There was just the right amount of O's for it to be that way. Yeah. Anyway, that's did everyone? Everyone did. Yeah, that was everyone's song. So, there you go. That's
right.
It. We're pretty much out of time for this week. Although, next week, guys, is going to be our big Jacademy Awards, the Joskers, where we're all going to doll it up in tuxedo T-shirts.
Yep.
And so basically what's going to happen, we're going to reveal, we did Oscar predictions a few weeks back. We're going to reveal who all got the most correct and the person that got the least amount is going to have to drink a ranch and buffalo wing flavored soda. Not together. They're separate, but they will have to chug them both.
Chug it all?
Yeah. No. Possibly.
Please no.
Who knows?
At least one of them.
Yeah.
Unless it's me, because I'm a diabetic. I can't handle all that sugar. I'll do one, but not both. I can't do both. So we're going to reveal that. Also, anyone that participated on our website, through the entry form and put in their own predictions. We're gonna tabulate the winner after we see the Oscars tonight, and we will announce that winner and send you your sweet, sweet prizes. So you're not going to want to miss next week, guys. Check it out. Also, you can head over to our website, jackofallnerdshow.com, for all of our other shows. We have a lot of other programming that is not here on Nerdbot that you can check out on our YouTube channel. Just search Jack of All Nerds as well. Hit us up on Patreon, all that kind of good stuff. We appreciate you guys spending the evening with us.
Thank you.
We love
Thank
all
you very
the interaction and everything. And yeah, guys.
Yeah.
You got anything?
No.
No, nothing like that?
No.
Nothing coming up?
Not right now.
Danny, you going to be featured anywhere at your house on your couch?
Watching Jeopardy?
At your school? Can they come watch you at school?
No.
No. Okay. All right. He does TED Talks. You can't go to them. That's all. All right, guys. This has been the Jack of All Nerds. Message me privately. I'll send you the information. Just everyone fucking shows up at his school.
Yeah, right.
Just watch it all creepily. I think you'd be into it. Anyway, this has been the Jack of All Nerds. We will talk at you later.